Hey, Holton.
Yeah.
How does the moon cut his hair?
How does what?
How does the moon cut his hair?
How?
Eclipse it.
Thank you. Dad joke.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. We're gonna start a new thing. I'm gonna see how many of those we can do before I get. Yeah. We're gonna turn that into a laugh by next week. I'm gonna work a little harder on that one. I erased the first one. Would you like to hear the other one I went with?
You're gonna tell anybody where we are and what's going on, or
no? We're gonna test out jokes. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How you doing? You're doing great. I can tell.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Smile in your voice. I can hear it.
But see, I think the listeners really want to hear broadcasting from the number one sports studio in Viroqua.
The number one sports studio in WDRT history, Studio B. That feels factual, too. It feels comfortable. Yeah, we'll work on something.
Yeah, you threw me for a loop.
I was trying to be funny. Yeah, I was trying to get your... I thought you would think that was funnier. Yeah, you know, you've heard a lot of dad jokes.
Yes, I have. At this point in my life.
I can go a little bluer for next week. We'll try out some granddad jokes. How about that?
I'm not that far yet.
No, not yet.
No. What's going on?
Sports. Mostly
really?
Sports. Yeah.
Pretty much NFL. I mean, baseball's what?
We're down the stretch they come on the baseball season. It's still number one in my heart until the season ends, because the Brewers are going to make the playoffs unless that has been... They're 3.5 games up.
Are they now?
They're 10 games over 500. They were the number. We were going to start with the Packers because there's a game coming up next day or two. But Brewers are looking really...
Okay.
Yeah. That's been the theme. They've been just barely okay now for the entire season, which puts them at 10 games over 500 with 40 games. Give or take 40 games left. They're 3.5 games up on Cincinnati and Chicago. They were 4-2 last week. They swept the Rockies, and then last night, this is a Thursday evening for anyone keeping track, last night, Wednesday, they got beat by the Dodgers 6-2. They played really good except for one inning where they gave up 5 runs. So if it was only an 8-inning game instead of 9, they would have been great, but they had a really bad 5th or 6th inning.
Okay.
The Brewers, like I said, they're going to be a playoff team, so I should sound a little more, but it's really not fun to watch them scrape together. None of the players that they traded for are doing exceptionally better than they were before they were playing for the Brewers. They're still 220, 230, 240 hitters, and the reliever they picked up gave up a couple of home runs in a game and is not great. So, but neither were the players that they replaced. They are Sal Frelick, the rookie, Bryce Terang, the rookie, Joey Weimer, the rookie. All three of those guys are playing like rookies. They're hitting right around 220, 230. They might get their average.
Isn't that better than what some of the other players they got rid of?
Yes.
We're doing though.
Yes. I mean, they're
kind of sad, but
it is very. Yeah, it's underwhelming, but it's been par for the course for what feels like a long time for the Brewers, but at least the last 2 years, their hitting hasn't been great, and their pitching has been, and it's no different this year. But at least, the young players, they've got a couple that Andrew Montessario, who he's still hitting over 280, 290. He's an infielder who is playing well, surprisingly well for the Brewers. Christian Yelich is the MVP. I mean, if the Brewers continue to play well, Christian Yelich will get some upwards votes on your MVP race for the National League. He's not going to win it. He's not going to be, if there was an all-pro, like an all-baseball, he wouldn't be one of the best three outfielders, but a fringe outfielder, and his average is going to be right around 300 by the time the season ends, hitting just enough home runs, hitting steals, not playing much not as well in the outfield, but the players they've picked up can play in the outfield, so he's been a DH. Which does save him. He's getting multiple hits in a lot of games and making the difference in a lot of low-scoring Brewers
so he's
teams.
Finally earning his keep.
Yeah. He was the MVP for a year when he got Brewers. He came to the Brewers. He was the best player in the National League, and then he had a year where he was hurt for a little bit, but still played well. And then it was just scraped the bottom of the barrel for about 2 years, and now here we are with a couple of years left on that contract. Yeah, he's earning it.
He's
making that money count. Then the catcher they picked up for Contreras is still wins above replacement is a stat in baseball that just basically says how much better is he than the average player. And he has been better. He's been a B plus pitcher or catcher, and one of the best defensive catchers in the league, surprisingly, all year. But that's led straight into the best part about the Brewers is going to be all year their starting pitching, which is fun to talk about because Adrian Hauser and Wade Miley, who are the bottom of that rotation, are pitching really well, and the top of it with Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns. You feel like any playoff series coming, they can win a one-game series, they can win a three, a five, best of five. They can line up three pitchers who can win, who can pitch, you know, and their bullpen too. Devin Williams. I won't keep boring people with the names of bullpen players for the Brewers, but everybody in that bullpen has been great.
Yeah,
has been as they have been for what feels like again my entire life. The Brewers bullpen, there's something in that water. I'm saying there's something in that Milwaukee water that just makes good relief pitchers. I don't know where they go after they leave the Brewers. Most of the time, nowhere. But they've all been good this year. So they are, yeah, I said they're 3.5 games up. It doesn't look like Cincinnati, Cubs haven't done that well in the last week or so. I think they're barely, like I said, they're 3-4 games above 500, but nothing special. And nobody else in that division has been trying for the last 3 months. So that's who the Brewers are going to be playing down the stretch, by the way. A lot of those, the bottom of that NL Central in the next month, those next 40 games, I think you've got about 25 to 30 of them, besides the next week where you go, who
do
they play?
Padres, Cubs, Pirates, Yankees, Marlins, Nationals.
Yeah, good.
Marlins again, Cardinals, Cubs.
This next week, they got the Dodgers, who are leading the NL West by a lot. They've got the Rangers, who are leading the AL West by a lot. And then they've got the your Minnesota Twins to finish out and start next week. They get that series again. Last time around, I'm pretty sure the Twins won 2 out of 3. The game I went to, the Brewers definitely got shelled in that one, too. So, yeah, down the stretch they come. These games against the Dodgers are, when you watch these real teams with the real money, there is such a difference in quality of talent on these rosters. The third and fourth best player on the Dodgers would be the best player far and away on the Brewers lineup. One of those players would make such the world of difference. Brewers would win 5 more games, 7 more games this year if they would have had one of those players that the Dodgers have any number of. So. Big series for the next week.
Well, we're still in hope that the Twins and the Brewers World Series, because the Twins are actually leading their AL Central by 4 games too.
Yeah, and I mean they have give or take the same record as the Brewers, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, get all hot season. In the postseason, right? Yeah. Like find a way to win the majority of games in a series. The Twins have been doing it all year. The Brewers too. Gosh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
just travel back and forth with the summer game series.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're almost directly in the middle. Maybe we would just stay right here in the studio. Maybe we just watch all the games. We'd be able to. I'll just keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we are a lot closer to that than we were at the beginning of the year when we were just joking.
Right.
We were 4 games in, and I believe the Twins were 3-1, and the Brewers were 4-0, and we declared, this is the year.
Yeah.
And now 40 games left. We're right there.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's enough baseball.
Yeah.
Let's get into football.
Wow, what's that?
Well, it's the sport that we're going to talk about most of this show and the next one and most of the ones coming up
all the way through probably January,
the end of
December.
February. Yeah, we can talk about the Pro Bowl again. That was super fun. We can do, but we're in the second game of the preseason.
Yep.
Packers looked really good in their first game. Yeah, I've now gotten a chance to watch the highlights on the NFL package, and The questions that I was talking about last week about backup quarterback clearly answered. Sean Clifford played really well, had 2 picks and a touchdown.
Okay.
But, you know, 20 of 26 in the preseason. He played pretty sure he played some of the first quarter and the entire rest of the game. So I would expect that for at least one more game. And he looked competent. He looked like a Kirk Cousins-esque game management, seemed to know what he was doing, wasn't rattled by the moment. Not a huge arm, but, I mean, you saw why the Packers liked him.
Yeah.
You saw why a guy like that could go in the 5th round instead of He was listed as an undrafted free agent type player. You start to see why the Packers maybe saw something in the way he handles an offense that I thought, hey, we should get him on the team for sure. The offensive line played really well too, because they ran the ball really, really well all the way through the game, not just the starting five, but all the way through to the end of the fourth quarter. And, you know, you don't know how much of that is, how good is Cincinnati's fifth and sixth string players, but the pros versus pros at the end of the game, the Packers were still running it straight down Cincinnati. The fourth and fifth string running backs for the Packers looked great too. And then defensive depth, Keyshawn Nixon, who's going to play a huge role if he's healthy. He was just a kick returner last year and an all-pro at that, but it looks like he's going to be your third or fourth cornerback. It looks like he's going to be your return guy. He's going to get a lot of snaps on defense and in special teams. He had a pick, and he returned kicks. Jalen Reed, the second-round pick this year, he returned some kicks. He didn't do anything spectacular while doing it, but honestly, all you're looking for is a guy not to get hurt.
Right.
And you don't really need your best and premier players to be return guys. You just need guys who don't fumble the ball and don't get hurt. Romeo Doubs looked like the number one receiver, or the guy who's going to get the most targets from the receiving room. Looks like it's going to be Romeo Doubs, at least in this first game.
Yeah.
He had a really nice touchdown. He was targeted the most. Christian Watson is really fast.
Yeah.
He's real fast and real big, but it looks like so far, at least early in it, you're going to see a lot of Romeo Doubs. You're going to see Jalen Reed as that third. Dontavian Wicks was another guy, wide receiver they drafted. He played pretty well, but I still think you're going to see Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jalen Reed be the three wide receivers. The tight end, Jordan Love in the first series missed a Musgrave, the tight end over the top,
sure,
just missed him. But that would have looked real nice on the stats and would have made a what looked like a B plus effort on Jordan Love an A plus. But that tight end looks fantastic. That will be just the threat of having a tight end who can run the middle of the field, even if he doesn't get a lot of targets, changes their offense substantially. They haven't had an athletic tight end since Jermichael Finley, maybe, was the last time they had somebody who could move and could get down the field. They've had guys who can catch the ball and block. But
yeah, like, you know, pretty much the preseason, I mean, like, for my likings, Kurt didn't dress. I mean, he did dress with a helmet for the whole game.
So
he kept his helmet
on.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the case is. But a lot of this is going to find out who your backups are. I mean, there's some teams that are starting. They're starters.
Sure.
You know, but in a lot of cases, they're not. They're just trying to figure out the backups or the backups.
It depends on what these starters, where they are along. They're third. By the time a guy's in his second to third, fourth year, you don't need to be in any of those games in the preseason, really. It's all about the practice. But if you're looking at maybe slotting in a fifth round wide receiver, you need to see him a lot. Cornerback, same thing. I'd assume the third round cornerback for the Vikings played quite a bit. I don't know.
Jordan Addison?
From USC, the
first rounder.
The third round cornerback that they got from
Mekhi
USC.
Becton.
There he is.
Yeah, he played. He did pretty good.
And did the first round wide receiver do anything first round wide receiver?
Well, I think he only got one pass. He caught one pass for 22 yards. He caught one that was counted as out of bounds. Toe drag, swag.
I mean, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Everybody's saying that his motions, his fundamentals, his capability of just articulating. I guess he's the real deal.
Sure.
So far he's shown.
I said he's the best college. He was the best receiver in college 2 years ago before he transferred to USC.
Yep.
That's going to make a big difference. That's why I do love the preseason. You can now in your mind see an offense that he's going to be better than Adam Thielen, you'd like to think. Now they can run down the field a lot.
Yeah,
two wide receivers who can go over the field.
They're not speed demons,
no.
But they're not. They're, you know, established route runners. They got that ability between JJ and now Addison.
I won't say speed is overrated, but as far as a attribute, speed is the least valuable.
Yeah, you can stop on a dime.
Because if you can stop, that is just as if you can stop real fast. That's just as good as being able to run real fast.
Look at JJ; he's not in the combine. He has never been that fast.
No,
but he jukes and he can make that quick change. And That's how he got open half the time last season.
That's how you catch 100-plus balls in a year is because you're – how is that guy always open?
Right.
Well, he can catch because he's always that much quicker.
Yep.
That much to the ball.
The twitch muscles.
Yep. He's that much – yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's so, a – I said the there was – if there was questions to be answered in a preseason game, the Packers answered all of them.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you don't know how good a Bengals team is when you're that deep.
Right. You know, I mean, the competition, you know, unless you know that they're playing their starters, and which some of these preseasons
and
they have.
Every been. Coach, I'm sure, and it's position by position, plays their guys more or less depending on what they
– Yep.
The wins and losses aren't that important to any of the preseason.
Well, except for the Baltimore Ravens.
Except for Baltimore, who's never lost ever since John Harbaugh has been a coach. Apparently, they're just never going to lose.
But
And then next week they got – or this week, I'm sorry. I think it's Friday. Is it Friday or Saturday? They play the Patriots.
Saturday.
It is a Saturday, and you get to see Ezekiel Elliott, who was recently signed by the New England Patriots, who will be a – I'd assume – I mean, Patriots running backs have not traditionally put up a lot of numbers.
It'll be a committee. Tony Pollard will be the starter.
Nope.
No?
Patriots. Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, no, he's not for the Cowboys anymore.
That's right. But – what he was doing before, I think it's going to be the kind of same thing.
You're going to see him any third down and shorts, any goal line things, he's a good blocking back. You're going to see him in they have a receiving back already. Ramondre Stevenson is the name of the starting back for the Patriots. Sneaky pick in fantasy football if anybody's interested. Mm-hmm. But Ezekiel Elliott, is going to do what he did for Dallas.
Okay.
Just probably have some more touches because they run – their offense, the Cowboys' offense didn't feature.
And it's a good move. I was thinking that they would pick up Dalvin Cook.
Sure.
But it's still a good pick. I think it helps Mac Jones.
Oh, sure.
You know,
I mean, anytime we're assuming
he'll take
that
any help he can get.
I mean, it's funny because we're assuming that Ezekiel Elliott's going to be what he was last year, but I don't think anybody else in the NFL besides thought he is. Because
the contract he took, too, is small.
Yeah, your buddy Dalvin Cook was signed also this week.
Yep.
So finally, apparently the conference of running backs worked because now the two of them have gotten paid. Dalvin Cook might make $8.5 million this year. With incentives that are hard to reach if you're not the starter all year, and he will be the starter for at least a couple of weeks. And I mean, maybe they have two running backs in all the time.
Yeah.
Both of those, Dalvin Cook's a great receiver. Aaron Rodgers has worked with two running backs in the past. Breece Hall, who is the Jets running back, is coming off an ACL injury.
Yeah.
He'll be out at least the first few games, if not more than, you know, just getting up to speed. And if Dalvin Cook is good enough in those first few games, you got to find a way to get him on the field because he has averaged 1,200 yards of offense the last few years, and he gets touchdowns.
Yep.
He's got the second or third most yards per carry in the league over the last few years. Other than the fact that apparently running backs talent-wise fall off cliffs at 28 years old, there's no reason that Dalvin Cook shouldn't have. 10 years ago, Dalvin Cook would have gotten himself a nice big 3-year deal from somebody. But no, it's a 1-year deal with the Jets, which means – we're going to talk about so many New York Jets this year. We're going to.
But the problem with the Jets, too, though, is that their O-line is not good.
Right.
And they dressed it over the offseason. It's still not good. I've been watching the Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Man, it's like, come on, you guys.
And it's the same problem that Tom Brady, his last year, had with the Buccaneers is – a guy at that age doesn't have the quicks, right? He doesn't have the, but he knows the field. So if you can give him the time, he can throw it to everybody. doesn't have a huge cannon arm anymore, so he can't throw it over everybody. But he can get the ball if given the time.
Still can throw it. There were some throws that I watched. He's still got. I don't like him.
No,
I do not like him.
You're gonna keep telling me that.
But he's a likable guy.
I see in
your this
eyes.
Thing.
I see in your eyes. Yeah, yeah.
But I still want them now that Delvin's there. I'm still not gonna like him.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it. You're going to be so excited to hear that they're 12-4 by the end of the year. Or you're going to be super excited when they're 4-12. Even that, I want one of those to be the answer to the New York Jets this whole year, because if I have to hear about them being another Green Bay, like 9-8, we won't talk about them. But if they are great or terrible, I can't wait to talk about Aaron Rodgers' face when they're great and Dalvin Cook's
the one
Pro Bowl.
That's been kind of looking good in the series. So it's only episode 2 was last night.
Oh, sure.
Was Zach Wilson. It looked like he matured.
But he's still got that face. He's still got that punchy face. But
he's not that cocky guy because he can't.
As you got a backup,
You know, you're a backup to Aaron Rodgers. You can't do anything unless he says yes.
As the clear backup,
it's like his dad. You know, so he actually in the couple of preseason games or the preseason game last week, I won't count the Hall of Fame game because that was just
That felt like a practice.
Yeah, it was. But you know, last week's game, he looked pretty decent. He was making passes that he should be making as a first rounder, you know?
It's interesting to think that a guy like that might sit like Jordan Love sat for 3 or 4 years. He's going to end up with the chance to maybe start in his, like, fourth year because, you know, Aaron Rodgers looks happy. He looks like he's going to be...
He's having fun.
And, I mean, you say that, and I'm rooting for, like, that January frozen New York, you know, like that...
But, I mean, it's nothing that...
You know, getting just shellacked by a Bill Belichick defense in January, you know, like, I root for that.
Getting sacked and just hard hitting the ground.
And also, having a media around him that's not supportive. Not 100. The Green Bay media, he figured it out. The New York media does not need an Aaron Rodgers. The Green Bay media needed Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing else
to
talk about.
But he still likes it. He still likes it. He likes the attention. He's taken more of a leadership role. I mean, he's been at all the OTAs, all the practices. Mm-hmm. He's participating. He's helping. I don't know. Maybe he just felt like he's burned out in Green Bay. I don't know.
I mean, there was nothing to say he didn't do those things in Green Bay. You know, when you hear Jordan Love doesn't have anything but great things to say about what Aaron Rodgers has done to help him and, you know, like make it professional out of him, so to speak. He didn't have to be his buddy. I don't know a lot of situations where a quarterback just buddies up with a guy who's going to replace him one day.
Right.
The New York Jets,
it's a fascinating story. We'll see if it happens. You know, see if it works out or not.
That covers pretty much.
Well, I've got my Minnesota Vikings.
What do you got? Please do. You're chomping. I see you.
No, I'm just saying.
Tell me what they do play the Seahawks, and I like that Seattle.
They lost, but it's once again Kurt wasn't in there, JJ wasn't there, Alexander. None of the starters played.
I mean, as an offense, I think Seattle's got one of the sneaky best offenses in football.
Yep.
Skill position wise, their running back room is as good as any in football. Their wide receivers can go 1, 2, 3 with the draft pick they had. Yep. They had a first round pick at a wide receiver this year, and two other.
I think they're either going to be – they're going to show their true colors by either really not doing much or they're going to make quite a stink in the playoffs.
If Geno Smith is as good as he was last year, that's a team that can be a Super Bowl team because they addressed their weaknesses like teams can do when they don't have a very expensive quarterback. They can afford to actually sign guys and help their team.
So I'm not really concerned about the offense for Minnesota.
How did their defense look with all the new everything?
Well,
everything.
I mean, Lewis Cine was that first round pick
last year's
and he
quarterback.
Got hurt. Yep.
Didn't play at all last year.
He played three games, and he got seriously injured. Mm-hmm. He came back. He looked like he was meant to be. You know.
Okay.
Their whole they had Byron Murphy that they picked up in the offseason from Arizona.
Does he look like a...
He's going to be a starter. According to the list right now, he's a starter.
Okay. Well, those are your two starters then, right?
Yep. But the starters on the defense, obviously, once again, Minnesota didn't play any of them except for... No, they didn't play any of them. So it's all the backups.
Sure.
So once again, it's that. Brian Flores trying to figure out who's who, what's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of interesting names. Like Ivan Pace Jr., undrafted, 5'10", 230 pounds, lightning fast, quick, smart.
Sure.
They just picked him up.
All right.
You know, and he's actually making as of right now, I think he's the third. Yeah, he's the third linebacker.
And, you know, that's a position in preseason that you can really make some noise as a linebacker.
Yep.
You can see you can see special teams. You can play in all the quarters as an undrafted guy. You can make a name for yourself and get on that roster as a special teams guy, if nothing else, for a guy like that.
A couple of names, Jaren Hall, they drafted in the fifth round.
Oh, you were excited to watch him. How do you...
Not bad.
Did he play as much as the other fifth-round pick, Sean Clifford, played for the Packers? Sean Clifford played three quarters.
I think they did the half.
Okay, so, first so you got half, Nick second, Mullins yeah. in the second half,
yep.
who still doesn't look like much of a quarterback. He looks accidentally.
I think Jaron will come across and he'll end up being the backup, I think.
Which, if you're the Vikings, you're rooting to not have to carry three quarterbacks. Because a guy, a fifth round, there's a chance a guy like that doesn't sit on a practice squad.
Right.
Somebody picks up a Jaron Hall if he's around right. because everybody needs a quarterback. If you're good enough to be, yeah, there are two quarterbacks everybody needs at least.
But he looked good. I mean, okay. he looked raw. I mean, not as raw as Richardson.
Oh, who's going to be the starter, by the way? Yesterday they named Anthony Richardson, Anthony Richardson was the fourth overall pick this year for the Indianapolis Colts with Shane Steichen, their head coach, was the coach for Jalen Hurts, offensive coordinator last year. Anthony Richardson only played one season as the starter.
But he's physical. I mean, he made some stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
But he's going to be, I think, but they're right. I think they're right by starting him.
Absolutely.
The guy, he played 13 games now.
He's not going to be better by sitting, and you're not going to be better by losing with a different quarterback.
Right. You're going to lose. Right. Lose it, right? Get him the experience, let him figure it out, see the different coverages, and just learn.
Like the Bears did. The Bears were accepting of Justin Fields as learning on the job, and no better way to learn than play. And Anthony Richardson is going to put up, he might have 800 yards rushing as a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts last year had 760 rushing yards. I don't know what his numbers are going to be, but man, it's going to be fun to watch that take place because a quarterback.
Depends
like
on
that,
also if they've got Taylor in there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jonathan Taylor.
He showed up yesterday.
Finally.
And now you skip again.
I wonder what happened. Wonder who made him.
He
saw a picture of Jim Irsay somewhere in the hallway and he just left.
Kind of offended.
He forgot that Jim Irsay was still the owner and he didn't like him and didn't want to play for him ever again. Yeah.
Matt Ryan, who played for him last year.
Oh, he's still in the league?
No, I think he's done.
Oh, okay, good.
But he commented saying that the Indianapolis Colts were one of the most worst-run organizations at this point.
Yeah,
because he's seen them all. He knows.
He's been around for an Atlanta team. He was drafted into a dysfunctional situation with Atlanta.
Just like Rodgers, he knows everybody and every team. You know, but he said that being there, he goes, this is a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he was glad to get out.
I mean, for anyone keeping track at home, the Indianapolis Colts last year were really bad. Fired their coach, Frank Reich, about halfway through the season. Frank Reich was instantly hired by Carolina as soon as they could because he's a really good coach. Was fired by Jim Irsay, the owner, who is a terrible... Now that Schneider is gone, might be the worst owner in football.
Yep.
Jim Irsay is awful. Awful, awful, awful dude and not a good owner. He replaced the coach with... not an offensive coordinator, not a defensive coordinator. Replaced him with Jeff Saturday, who was a Ring of Fame Colts player, an offensive lineman. TV personality who had never coached high school, never coached college, never coached anywhere. He was the coach for the Colts last year. It was the silliest thing.
We got 25 seconds left already.
That was it?
Yes.
Oh, man.
We talked football and we're going...
Next year, or next week, we're absolutely going to talk about two things. The Titans head coach, Mike Vrabel. We are absolutely going to talk about fantasy football.
Yep.
We're gonna delve into. You and I are gonna draft a team this week. We're gonna play fantasy football, and next year I'll explain it all. Have a wonderful
next week,
everybody. Next week, we'll do that next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you for listening.